Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Hebrews chapter 11 is the great chapter of saints and their good works in the Bible. In that chapter, over and over and over again, we read that the believers in the Old Testament did many mighty works. Men and women, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, and many others. So many, in fact, that the author of Hebrews writes that time would fail him to tell of all the glorious deeds of God's people of old. And each and every one of those saints is introduced with the phrase, by faith. It was by faith that these great heroes did good works. And they are held before us as an example. And not just there, but other places in the New Testament also. For example, in the book of James, where believers like Abraham and Elijah are named as faithful Christians who do good works and set before us as examples for us to follow. And the Apostle Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, even goes so far as to tell them, "Be imitators of me." So from these passages, we learn that it is good and proper for us Christians, as we still live and strive here on earth, to look back at the great saints of old, to remember and consider those believers who have gone before us and are with the Lord now in heaven. The Bible encourages us to remember their example and to strive to follow it. Their example of faith toward God and fervent love toward the neighbor. We are called to give thanks to God for all the good things that he did through them. And we may be strengthened in our own faith as we recall God's grace and mercy and protection on them. And of course, this doesn't only apply to those saints whose deeds are recorded for us in Holy Scripture. No, we rightly remember and give thanks to God for all those saints who have demonstrated their faith and life to us. Yes, even those who did so personally in our own lives. Our parents and our grandparents, our spouses, siblings, children, our pastors and teachers, our fellow church members, and many more. All those who in their day-to-day lives showed us what a Christian life of faith and love looks like. As the next chapter of Hebrews, chapter 12, states, we are truly surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses whose example gives us encouragement as we run the race of the Christian life with endurance, looking toward our heavenly goal. As I mentioned before the service began, today we remember one particular saint, that is Barnabas, who was named as an apostle in the book of Acts. In our second lesson, we hear that he is a good man, filled with the Holy Spirit and with faith. Now, Barnabas, as the book of Acts tells us earlier, was a Levite, a Jewish man from Cyprus. We don't know how long he was a Christian. He may have been a follower of Jesus during his earthly ministry, or it's very possible that he was one of those 3,000 souls who were baptized on Pentecost. In any case, when he's introduced to us, he's first called Joseph, but then the apostles give him the name by which we know him today, Barnabas. A fitting name, because it means son of encouragement. And as the son of encouragement, Barnabas demonstrated a godly life of faith, a life that the Holy Spirit inspired St. Luke to record in the book of Acts, written for our instruction, that we too may be encouraged to live a life worthy of the calling to which we have been called with endurance and hope. In the first place, Barnabas proves himself to be a son of encouragement with his work of charity. He's introduced to us in the book of Acts chapter 4, and there we read that he sold a field that belonged to him, and he brought the money, the proceeds, and he laid it at the disciples' feet. As we heard today, he, along with Saul, soon to be known as Paul, they were entrusted with the relief funds for those suffering in Judea from the effects of the great famine. So we see by faith, Barnabas followed the words of the Lord Jesus. He did not try to serve both God and money, but instead, with his money, he served God. He was not anxious about his life, his food, or his drink, his clothing, or anything. He trusted that his heavenly Father would meet his earthly needs. And so, in faith, he took what was his and he sold it. And then he used those proceeds to meet the needs of others. And then when a great need arose because of famine, Barnabas, who proved himself to be no lover of money, faithfully brought the gifts of the church to the elders in Judea to help those who were suffering. By these good works of charity, Barnabas showed that his true treasure is in heaven. In the second place, Barnabas showed himself to be a son of encouragement by his work of reconciliation. It was he who took Saul, that former persecutor and blasphemer and insolent opponent of the Lord Jesus, and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how Saul had seen the Lord on the road, how the Lord had spoken to Saul on the road, how at Damascus Saul had preached boldly the name of Jesus. And then a little bit later on, when a dispute arose between him, Barnabas, and Paul, Barnabas defended his cousin, John Mark. He was willing to give him a second chance to go along with them on that second missionary journey, though during the first trip, Mark had withdrawn and returned home. And so again, we see that by faith, Barnabas put into practice the meaning of the eighth commandment. He defended his neighbor. He spoke well of him. He explained everything in the kindest way. Yes, even when that neighbor was a fierce opponent of the Christian faith to which he clung, or when that neighbor had abandoned him and his work of preaching the gospel. Barnabas showed by his actions that he sincerely forgave and gladly did good to those who had sinned against him. And God did many great things because of that reconciliation. As you probably know, Saul, again, who would become Paul, would be the great missionary and apostle to the Gentiles. Mark himself would later be reconciled to Paul. He would become a co-worker with the apostle Peter. And through both those men, the Holy Spirit would record books of the New Testament. Now, in the third place, Barnabas showed himself to be a son of encouragement in his work of evangelism. When the report of the new Christians in Antioch came to the church in Jerusalem, they sent Barnabas there to encourage and exhort these new believers. And for a year, he taught alongside Saul a great many people. And then, according to the Lord's will, in his good time, he was chosen by the Holy Spirit and set apart with Saul for the work that God willed for them to do. To go forth and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for sinners. To do so boldly and joyfully in many places. It was by faith that Barnabas heeded the Lord's call to preach the gospel to the whole creation. To Jew and Gentile alike, men, women, slave, free. Barnabas went as the Lord willed, sending him to make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching them, sharing with as many people as he could all that the Lord had done for them and for everyone. And finally, in the fourth place, Barnabas showed himself to be a true son of encouragement in his steadfast confession of the truth. During that first missionary journey, which we read in Acts, beginning in Acts chapter 13, Barnabas and Saul, they were opposed by Jew and Gentile alike. As they preached, there were opponents who sought to undo their work, who contradicted their preaching, who persecuted them and drove them out of their cities. Nevertheless, Barnabas with Saul remained faithful to the God-given task to which they had been assigned. Regardless of the persecution, they went forth from city to city, from town to town, preaching the good news of Jesus Christ for the salvation of all people, no matter what trials and tribulations they might face in response. And in time, when that gospel was threatened even by those who claimed to be Christian, threatened by the preaching of salvation by works of the law, Barnabas still remained steadfast in the gospel, relating what signs and wonders God had done through him and Saul among the Gentiles. So we see by faith, Barnabas was willing to take up his cross to follow Jesus. He feared God more than man and was willing to suffer all, yes, even death, rather than fall away from the confession of Jesus Christ as Lord and the good news of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, apart from works. And it's this last point that's especially important for us to remember today. Not only as we consider the Apostle Barnabas, but as we remember all those saints who serve as examples of good works to us. That the good works done by a Christian do not save him. Not even a little bit. No more than the works of the law saved those great heroes of faith recorded in the Old Testament, remembered in Hebrews chapter 11. All believers, from Adam all the way to today, all believers are saved by faith and faith alone, just as Barnabas was. We are not saved by our works. And Barnabas zealously contended for this truth. He zealously contended for the truth of the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ alone for all nations. Yes, even when there were those who insisted that it was necessary for new believers to keep the law in order to be saved, Barnabas stood firm and said, "No, we are justified by faith alone." He knew it had to be this way, just as his co-worker in the gospel, Paul, would write, that by works of the law, no human being will be justified in God's sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that certainly included Barnabas. Barnabas sinned. He fell short. The Holy Spirit willed to record this for us in Holy Scripture. In the book of Galatians, Paul recalls how even Barnabas, for a time, was led away from the gospel by the hypocrisy of certain Jewish Christians. Barnabas sinned. He fell into the sin of partiality. Though he had been a steadfast confessor of the pure gospel of grace, yes, there was even a time when Barnabas stumbled and fell, when that confession was tested. And so Barnabas knew that if his salvation was in his works, even just in part, then he would be lost and condemned forever. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. Truly, if our hope of heaven has even the tiniest bit to do with what we do, then no one would ever enter heaven. Because we have all failed, and not just in one point, but in many points of God's holy law. But the good news preached by Barnabas that the church still proclaims today is that God never fails. All glory to him. He has kept his promise. The promise that he made of his own will. The promise to save us poor, miserable sinners, to give us the hope of heaven, and to do so freely, not by our works, but by grace alone. God willed to give us forgiveness, life, and salvation, and to give it freely as a gift. And so he gave his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, as we heard prophesied in our Old Testament lesson today, to be a covenant for the people, all the people, and for the nations, a light, all the nations. Our Lord Jesus, who possesses the name that is above every name, to whom all glory is given as true God and true man, to who is greatly to be praised, he fulfilled the law for us perfectly. All that Barnabas did, and we do in weakness, Jesus did in perfect strength, and accounts it to us by grace. Charity? He who was rich became poor for our sake, so that we by his poverty might become rich with the treasures of heaven. Reconciliation? While we were enemies, Christ Jesus reconciled us to God by his death on the cross. Evangelism? Just as he did in his earthly ministry, sending the apostles two by two to preach the kingdom of God, So before his ascension, he sent them saying, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you." In steadfast confession, he promises, "Everyone who confesses me before men, I also will confess before my Father who is in heaven." By grace and grace alone, your Lord Jesus loved you and lived for you and died for you and rose again for you, that you who were once enslaved by sin and death and the devil might be set free by his holy precious blood, shed on the cross for your sins and for the sins of the whole world. This is the good news that Barnabas himself believed. The good news that was able to save his soul even when he had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it was the same good news that he and Paul taught as they journeyed as missionaries together. And so we hear Paul preaching in Acts chapter 13. "Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses." There is that beautiful gospel and sentence preached by Paul alongside Barnabas. Through Jesus, there is forgiveness of sins. Everyone who believes in him is set free from sin and death. Yes, we rightly remember the saints who have gone before us and their example of faith and love. But we cling in faith to Jesus alone. He alone is our Savior. He alone has kept the law perfectly on our behalf. He alone atoned for our sins by his death on the cross. He alone gives us forgiveness of sins and freedom from death and hell. And it is he alone who works in us, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. By the work of sanctification wrought by the Holy Spirit, we follow in our Lord Jesus' footsteps. We do those same good works that he did perfectly, though we do in weakness. The same good works that our fathers and mothers in the faith have done for centuries. Again, works like charity, taking the money and the goods, the talents that we have received from God, and giving them freely to support the church and to help those in need, without any expectation of reward or earthly recognition. We do works like reconciliation, striving to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, as we confess our sins to one another, as we forgive one another when we trespass against each other. And we do this not just once or seven times, but even 70 times seven. Works like evangelism, speaking boldly about our Lord Jesus Christ and the hope we have in him to those whom God has put in our lives, trusting in not in our own powers of persuasion, but that the Holy Spirit will bless our words and that he will work through those words when and where he wills. And good works like confession, holding fast to the truth of God's word steadfastly, no matter who may oppose it, knowing that for those who remain faithful unto death, there is laid up for them in heaven a crown of life. Again, as the book of Hebrews states, we are truly surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Saints of old, saints of more recent time. Some known to many, like Barnabas, and some known only to a few, but all who have encouraged us with their example of the Christian faith and life. But even as this great cloud of witnesses surrounds us, we run with endurance the race that is set before us by looking to Jesus. Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. He is the one who gives us strength and grace to finish the race. For he endured the cross. He was willing to bear all the shame that he suffered there for us because of the great joy that was his, the joy that came with bringing us to our heavenly home to dwell with him forever. So therefore, with eyes on Jesus and on Jesus alone, with the encouragement of the saints that surround us who are now with the Lord, let us continue to run the race by faith, the race that God has set before us, and let us do so with endurance until we reach that goal and enter into that peace and rest that has no end, the rest that comes from seeing our Savior face to face. In Jesus' name, please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.